God has drawn my attention to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. I think probably a good 90% of everybody here knows what that says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. In the beginning was the Word. And you might be here this morning and you're not interested in the beginning was the Word. And maybe, you know, you're wondering, you know, what God, how God can help me with my life. And, you know, I certainly am wondering that too. Each and every moment of each and every day, I'm looking for God, how can you help me with my life? How can you help me to be a better pastor? How can you help me to be a better father, a better grandfather, a better uncle, brother, husband? And I don't wonder this, but you might be wondering this, how can I be a better wife, mother, grandmother? And I believe that in the beginning was the Word can help you to do that. Can help you to be better at what you do, better at work. Will it help you be a better tennis player? Well, I'm not sure. It did help Joseph. The Bible says that Joseph served on Pharaoh's court. And it was by the grace of God that Joseph was a better server. But I believe when the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, that is not my notes. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Actually, one of the questions on Jeopardy last night was the 13-letter word, and it was to speak without notes and unprepared, and somebody said impromptu, and they said, no, that's not it, and the word is extemporaneous. So anyway, and that's what I almost had to do, except that I do have my notes. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When you read that, it kind of takes you back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John, the gospel writer, the apostle John, writes his gospel significantly different than the other gospels. We had Matthew, who portrayed Jesus as the descendant of King David, and he opens his gospel with the lineage of Jesus. And then we had Mark, who saw Jesus as the servant of God. And then we had Luke, who saw Jesus as the Son of Man. And he traces his lineage through Joseph and through Adam. And then we come to John, and John says, in the beginning was the Word. And he begins his gospel in a much deeper, mystical sense where we don't always see the connection. And so this morning, I'm going to try to help you see the connection. I'm going to try to help you see how this is important. It's part of the plan of God that will help you be better at work, a better father, better mother, a better husband, a better wife, to be a better human being. When you see and understand what John meant when he said, in the beginning was the Word. This will help you. And see, so let me give you this illustration. Here it is right here. See this thing? We call it a smartphone. And this thing in my pocket has more computing power than an entire room of computers back in the early 1970s. fact, the computer in your car has more computing power than that. And when I was a kid growing up, we had telephones. We actually had telephones. But they were a big boxy thing that sat on a table, and it had a handle, and you picked up the handle, and it was kind of U-shaped, and you talked into one end and put the other end up to your ear, and it had a rotary dial. How many of you guys remember rotary dials? Okay, well, the rotary dial was really cool technologically because it was really advanced. When you pulled that thing over, you grabbed the 9 and pulled it over, or the 1 and pulled it over. Each time it was spring loaded, it would spring back, and if depending on the number that you picked, it would click so many times. If you pulled the 1, it would click once. Pulled the 9, it would click 9 times. And so what that was doing, it was sending a signal to a switchboard. And the switch would get the signal, 1, it would go up 1. 5, it would go over 5 and make a connection. And so phones back then were really technologically cool back then. And on our street, we had what was called a party line. And so we had one phone line coming to our street. And so you'd sometimes pick up the phone and you hear people talking. And that's because it was a party line, and that, you know, everybody on that party could make a phone call as long as nobody else was on the line. And so frequently we had to wait for somebody to get off before we could make a call. And then we came up with new technology. And they came out with what I remember is called the princess phone. You remember the princess phone? Yeah, it was about half the size of the other ones. And the handle was just like, you know, there was just a little cradle for the handle. And then inside the handle were not a rotary dial, but little push buttons. And so yeah. And so here we are 30 years later, and we've got something we carry around in our pocket that doesn't have a dial. It doesn't have really push buttons. It doesn't have sort of one push button. Well, if you want to change the volume, turn it on, turn it off. It's got a bunch of push buttons. But it'll do just about anything. And I can talk to just about anybody in the world on this thing. It's absolutely incredible. And this is what humanity has been doing for thousands and thousands of years. We have been trying to make things better. We always striving, never satisfied with the rotary dial. Never satisfied with the way things are. We're always seeking to make things better, right? I mean, this is the way all of humanity is. We always do that. Everywhere, throughout history, we've always never been satisfied with the way things are and always seeking to make things better. Why is that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We have in us something that makes us dissatisfied with the way things are. All people, not just Christians, every human being on the planet is always looking to make things better. Whether you're a Hindu or a Buddhist or a Baptist or a Catholic or an atheist, we're all looking for that. We all seek something better. And that, I believe, is what, in the beginning, was the Word speaks to us this morning. And so I want to share a little bit just how that connects with the smartphone in your pocket. how that connects with being a husband and a father, and how that connects with your life personally. What does that mean to you? Let's go back to the Old Testament. We're not going to go all the way back to Genesis 1, even though that's very similar to this verse, but we're going to go back to Ecclesiastes, something that the King Solomon wrote. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, in that, if you remember, chapter 3 begins with something that you'll remember, where King Solomon says, there is a time for everything under heaven. And so in chapter 3, verse 11, he makes something, a statement. He says, he, God, he has made everything beautiful in its time. God has made everything beautiful in its time, and that there is an appropriate time for everything. And then look what he says there. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he, God, has put eternity into man's heart. And that's why I think humanity, all of us, every human being, is always looking for something better. Because we have this connection somewhere in us, somehow, that causes us to want to look for something better in our life. When it says in Genesis that God made man in his image, I think what he did was he put a little bit of eternity in us, to where we're never happy, never satisfied with the way things are. We always look for more. And that's not greediness, that's just the nature, that's the way God made us. We're just don't stay happy with the same thing all the time. We get dissatisfied and we want something more. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart. Stop there. And let's go to Psalm 90 and look what David says this. In Psalm 90, verse 2, he says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And that is that kind of mystical eternity that we look for in life. We don't understand it. We don't know what it is. And what the psalmist is saying, he says, from everlasting to everlasting, from infinity over there to infinity over thar, God is God. You are God. That God is infinite. And that brings us into the beginning was the Word. We see something mystical there that goes beyond everyday life. It's not something concrete that we can put our hands on. It is eternity. We're talking something that goes beyond our comprehension. Infinity. And I believe that when God made man in the garden on the day 6 of creation, he put a little bit of that eternity and a consciousness of infinity there within us. And so we have, this is mystical thing, the finite human being who has a beginning and has an end has this connection with infinity, where we think we know it, or we think we'd like to know that. We want to know that. What is this? This infinite God. In the beginning was the Word. Now, what does that have to do with my job? What does that have to do with mowing the lawn? What does that have to do with being a good father? It is everything. It is the fabric of your life. How can I be a better father knowing in the beginning was the Word? Well, once you grasp this and make it the very fabric of your life, it will change you. If you look around the world today, you see a large dissatisfaction. And not only that, we see corruption going on. The world is not getting better. Even though this phone is supposed to make my life easier, it doesn't always do that. You know, it's like, you know, I can actually print a document from my phone. But, you know, at that very moment when I really need a document printed, it's not going to work. You know that, right? And so that's kind of like the world, that there is a certain amount of corruption going on. And that we're trying to make things better and better, like the phone, like the telegraph, like cars, like we're trying to make things better and better and better, but then in the midst of that, there's a certain corruption that's going on, and that the very fabric of our society is becoming more and more corrupted. And you see that. You can look out into the news. You can listen to the news and know the truth of that. You see, parents killing their children. You see, people going insane and mass murder. Just one individual just goes off and takes a gun or 10 guns and 1,000 rounds of ammunition and gets on the top of a building and starts shooting people. That's the corruption that's going on here. And what we need to do is we need to get connected again to this infinity that our soul is made for. That God made us to know the infinite. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In that verse, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now, I'm always interested in words. And, you know, one of the things I like about technology is when I read a book, and I read a digital book on Kindle or Barnes & Noble, and if I see a word that I don't know what it means, I hold my finger down on it, and it selects the word, and then it shows me what the word means. That is so cool. Of course, you know, I'll look at it, and then 20 minutes later, I'll forget what that word means. But I looked up the word everlasting. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And the Hebrew word is olam, which doesn't really tell you much, right? But the word everlasting in the Hebrew means ages. From ages to ages, you are God. It could mean always. From always to always, you are God. It could be translated from days of old. From days of old to days of future, you are God. From the vanishing point of everything in the infinite that way to the vanishing point in the infinite this way, God is God. And if we grasp that and make that part of the fabric of who we are, that gets us that much more connected to God. God is God. Without beginning, he has no beginning and he has no end. Infinite. God is God. He is the uncaused cause of everything in existence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, John, what he's doing in his gospel, he's trying to tell the story about Jesus, just like Matthew, Mark, and Luke were doing, right? He's trying to tell that story, but he's going in a different direction. He's trying to push us into the infinite, to experience something bigger, infinity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's pushing us to experience God in a way that goes beyond the mundane day-to-day toils that we go through. If you can get a hold of God, and it makes and see his infinite greatness, then the day-to-day mundane trials of doing the dishes and mowing the lawn and going to work and raising kids and dusting and vacuuming and everything, it raises everything to a higher level. And that's what John is trying to do when he said, in the beginning. He's getting his readers right off the top and says, in the beginning, take us to a higher level. Raise each and every moment of our life to a level that goes beyond day-to-day mundane trials and temptations, corruption, sin, righteousness. Raise it up to the level of the infinite God. In Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, it says this, the eternal God is your dwelling place. This is where you, a human being, is meant to dwell, is meant to live. The eternal God is where you're meant to be. This is why we were created. And when God made us in his image, he put an unction, a yearning for something better within us. And that's what produces greatness in people and at the same time corruption. When we ignore God, we become more and more and more corrupt. When we focus on God, we become more and more and delighted and find joy and satisfaction in him. Hallelujah. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. John is basically, when he says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, he's trying to help finite people, people who were born and who will die, connect to the infinite. What a great thing. We are taught in the Bible that man is created in God's image. Which that means, what does that mean? It means that there's something of God in man. All people, whether you're a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Kiwanis Club member. There's something of God in all of us. And that's what John is trying to draw our attention to. Now, why are there wars continually on the earth? Because humans are always struggling with our finiteness. We want to find something that is eternal. You know, the U.S. Constitution, last Wednesday was the 4th of July. It was the birthday of our independence. And we drew up, because of that, a constitution. It is 129 or maybe 131, something like that, 129, 30, 31 years old. On September 17th this year, it's going to be 130, give or take, years old. Now, it's interesting. Excuse me, 230 years old. It's interesting that that is the oldest governing document in the world today. Now, we've been around for thousands of years. We've got Egypt going back thousands of years. We've got China with 4,000 years of history. And the U.S. has the oldest governing document in the world. What is that? What does that mean? That tells us about the corruption that's going on in the world, that people are not satisfied with government. What?
229.
229, thank you. We're not satisfied with government, and so governments are overthrown and they draw up new documents, and there's wars and rumors of wars and all this stuff going on. Because we're always searching for that infinite. We're always searching for something better. Now, look at the animal kingdom. I'll give you an illustration with animals. You look at the animal kingdom. Animals aren't always searching for something better. They're always searching for food, it seems like. But they're always, they're satisfied with the food that God created them to eat. They very seldom, this is rare for a wolf to eat a wolf. They go after the lambs and the deer. That's because that's the way God made them. And so you don't see that corruption in the animal kingdom. But you see it in man. We're never satisfied. We're killing one another. We're creating wars. Humanity has become like a killing machine. We know how to kill people. We are seemingly committed to destruction. Ever since I've been born, there's always this nuclear threat hanging over my head. Ever since I grew up in the 50s and when we were making bomb shelters. And yet, even today, we see the same thing. North Korea, they've got a nuclear weapon. Weapons of mass destruction. There's always something, right? What's the deal? That's because we humans have something different than animals. Birds fly. That's normal, right? When we see a bird flying, we don't say, "Oh, hey, look at that. That bird's going through the air." Duh. No, we see that. It's normal. That's the way they're supposed to do. And dogs bark, right? And cats meow. And cows moo or chew the cud. Animals do what they're supposed to do generally. And I realize there are exceptions to that. But with man, we're just like one big exception. But one of the things about all of humanity is that infinite thing, that infinite spark that's within our heart, that all human beings have this desire for something better. And we don't always go in the right direction. Some of us, look for something better and we go towards Buddha. Some of us look for something better and we go towards Muhammad. Some of us look for something better and we go towards atheism. But we don't always have the right idea, but we're always looking for that. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so I haven't been real coherent this morning, at least in my mind, but I want to open your heart and mind to something bigger and better this morning in the here and now. And that thing that's bigger and better is Jesus Christ. It is God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That there is something bigger and better out there. And that if we connect to God through Jesus Christ, we have connected to that infinite thing in our life that will give us rest for our souls, for that part of us that wants something better. You connect to God, what better can you connect to than God? You might be, you know, wherever your phone is, where did I stick that thing? You might be, yeah, that's another thing about technology. Being so small, we have frequently set it down and can't find where we put it. But the thing about God is you can always connect to Him. You can always connect to Him. No matter, you know, if you walk away from God, you might think you're walking away from God, but guess what? You're not getting any further from Him because He is with you. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will not leave you as orphans. And so even when we walk away from God, He's right there with us. And so maybe you're here this morning and you have guilt or condemnation in your life from things you've done or from walking away from God. He's right here, right now. That infinite greatness is transcendent. It is imminent, right in your face. You don't have to go anywhere to get back to God. All you have to do is turn in your heart and say, God, forgive me. Have mercy on me. And perhaps you're here this morning and you're facing difficulties and trials in your life, bills to pay, mountains to overcome, mountains of bills, mountains of problems. Jesus Christ is here to help you, to not to do it for you, but to give you joy and power and strength in your life to where you can be an overcomer through Christ who strengthens you. And maybe you're here this morning and you have a physical issue in your life. I talked to several people this morning that want prayer this morning. And so we're going to go to prayer right now, but I want you to know that the infinite is here this morning. There is infinite possibilities. There is infinite greatness here this morning. There is infinite power here this morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.